This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. We're very happy to have with us today as our guest, Congressman Paige Belcher, a Republican from Enid, Oklahoma. Mr. Belcher was an outstanding athlete while attending the University of Oklahoma. You were a four-letter man, I believe, in football, basketball, baseball, and track. He's now serving his fifth term in Congress, a member of the House Agriculture Committee and the House Republican Policy Committee. Mr. Belcher is very active in civic affairs in Oklahoma and has received high honors as a Boy Scout leader. We're very happy to have you with us today, Mr. Belcher.
Thank you very much, Dick. It's indeed a pleasure to have the opportunity to appear on your program.
One problem that seems to be confronting most Americans nowadays is the high cost of living, which seems to be going up and up all the time. I'm wondering if you have any idea as to some of the things that might be contributing to this ever-increasing cost of living.
Well, I think there are a lot of contributing factors, of course, to inflation. It isn't all brought about by one thing. It's always been my opinion, however, that big government and government spending, and I might say deficit government spending, certainly adds to the fuel of inflation, because whenever you put a dollar in circulation that hasn't been taken in by the government through the taxing source, you're increasing the amount of money in circulation, and as you increase the amount of money in circulation, you invariably bring higher prices. And of course, for only 2 or 3 years out of the past 2 decades, have we had a balanced budget, which means that almost every year we have spent more money than we actually took in. Naturally, that's going to be a strong contributing factor to inflation and higher cost of living.
Now, to a lot of people, taxes, while important, aren't the biggest thing in the world. They say, I'm a man of moderate income. I have several dependents that are exemptions from my income tax, so why should I worry too much about this tax situation?
Well, I think that's true. I think there's a misconception. I think a lot of people feel that in view of the fact that they're not big taxpayers, you might say they're just average citizens trying to earn a living and educate their children, have very little stake in what the government does. But really, they have probably one of the greatest stakes, for the reason that the one form of taxation that you're unable to in any way dodge is when it comes to you in the form of the higher cost of living. When a person goes down to the grocery store or the dry goods store, and they have to pay more for the absolute necessities of life brought about by excessive government spending, that's one tax that no taxpayer expert on earth can get a deduction for.
In other words, when the price of bread or the price of shoes goes up, why, doesn't make any difference how many dependents you have. You're still going to have to pay those higher prices.
Well, I would say, Dick, that the more dependents you have, the more the high cost of living is going to affect you, because the more mouths you have to feed, the more feet you have to put shoes on, and the more bodies you have to clothe.
And then actually, then, this increasing cost of living is really affecting the little man more than it is the big fellow.
Well, I would think so. Yes, the higher cost of living puts a greater pinch on the lower income. And, of course, it puts one of the greatest pinches on the fellow that can't protect himself, the fellow that's on a fixed income, whether it be a retirement or a pension or even a fixed income on interest from investments. There's no way that he can brace against inflation when the cost of living goes up, when the price of the dollar goes down. He's caught in a squeeze, and there's no way for him to protect himself.
And actually, then, you're saying that inflation is, in your opinion, just another form of taxation, really.
Well, I think it is. When it's brought about by government, yes.
By the spending of government.
That's what I mean, yes.
Well, now, why is the government spending more? Is it trying to do more? Is that it?
Well, I'll tell you why the government spends more is because the people back home are demanding more and more service from their government. There's a tendency to look towards Washington for everything. In other words, the local community looks to the state and the state looks to Washington. Whenever there's a local problem anymore, the first thing that any committee does is to ascertain if there isn't some government agency that would be able to advance them funds to take care of the problem that ordinarily should be taken care of at home. A lot of people have said, when are you members of Congress going to cut out this needless government spending? Dick, my answer to that is whenever 51% of the people of the United States want it cut out. Too many people feel that it's only the Congress that will cut expenses. It's public sentiment, Dick, that'll cut expenses. As long as the people feel that it doesn't make any difference to them how much money the government spends, as long as the people feel that they can send tax money to Washington and get part of it back and have it better than keeping all the tax money at home, just that long the Congress is going to appropriate the money. Dick, Congress never appropriates money for any project that the people don't demand.
And then, isn't it also true that by the policy of federal grants for one project and another, the matching funds programs, many localities, many states, and local units of government are being encouraged to undertake projects on a much grander scale than they normally would?
That is true, and on even on the matching programs, which I think is probably the safest and sanest programs that we do have, because at least the local people have to invest part of their own money in it, and I'm interested in the local people having an interest in the way that government is, the way that money is spent. Because if it's they feel that it's their money that's being spent, they're going to watch more closely the way that it is spent. But even the matching programs, a lot of times, encourages the local government to spend a lot more money than they spend otherwise because they say, you know, we can't afford to let this money get away from us.
There's so much available, we might as well get it.
That's right, and they say for every dollar we put up, well, we get two, so it's just a good investment, and that just ups the government's share of the grant program. It also causes local communities sometimes to vote their own money to for projects that they wouldn't spend the full amount to get.
There's one thing that I've noticed of late, Congressman Belcher. That is, when you're talking about federal expenditures and the need to cut, quite a number of people will agree that this whole thing needs to be cut, that the situation is getting out of hand and we're rapidly spending ourselves into the poorhouse. But when it comes to where to cut, most of them will say, go over there someplace and cut. Don't cut my project. Go over and cut this fellow's project.
Well, of course, the amusing thing, time after time, we will have a letter demanding absolute economy in government, and it'll be rather critical and severe in its terms. Say, of course, there is one project that I think is certainly justifiable, and that is the dam near my hometown, or that's a new federal building for my hometown, or that's some particular local project. We'll not cut government spending until people are willing to have their own projects cut as well as the other fellows.
Because it all has to start someplace.
It all has to start someplace, and there's no money that Congress spend. In other words, Congress can't spend a dollar that it hasn't taken from a taxpayer first.
Do you believe that the people of the country are beginning at least a little bit to wake up to this problem?
Well, I would hope they are, and yet year after year, there are new government programs being proposed. There are a lot of new government programs being proposed right at this very minute, and a lot of them may pass this Congress. You don't cut expenses, Dick, by cutting appropriations. The only way you're going to stop expenses is stop the authorization for a definite type of program. And when we invade the field of federal aid to education, federal medicine, and a lot of things like that, we're just broadening the scope of the federal activities, and the money will be appropriated, it'll have to be appropriated, when the time comes. The time to cut government expenditure is cutting of the authorization for the program, not necessarily the project, but for the program in general.
Would you feel that the federal government is engaged now in fields that it really shouldn't be in?
I think it is engaged in fields that it shouldn't be in. I have always thought that there should be a distinction made between those things that are federal functions and those things which are state, community, or local functions. There are functions which the federal government can do better than the state or the local government can do. There are a lot of functions that can be carried on much better, more economically, more efficiently at the local level than they can in an overall government program trying to adapt a program to 50 states instead of one local community.
Well, actually, isn't it also true that the more centralization of government you have, the higher the overhead expense is?
That's true. As I say, a lot of time, people back home think that they can send tax money down here to Washington, and after the federal government has taken out a very large brokerage fee, and they get part of it back, they think they got something for nothing from Washington, which absolutely is not true. Anything you get from Washington, you've sent there first.
Then you feel that we should start looking for things that we can do for ourselves, in other words.
That's right, and I think that we should always explore the possibility of doing the thing locally before we turn to Washington for it. And I think that that can be brought about by those people who believe in sound government, spreading that word and creating public sentiment right in their own local communities.
But the sentiment is going to have to originate at home because the climate in Washington is such that it certainly doesn't encourage that sentiment.
I would say this, that Congress will respond to the people. If enough people demand government spending, they will get it. If enough people demand the cutting of government spending, they will get that. We've had an illustration within the past 12 months of what can happen on a bill when people become aroused. And if they become aroused against government spending, and I think in creating sentiment against government spending and so forth, you're rendering a great service.
Congressman Belcher, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today. Our time has gone by very quickly. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Congressman Paige Belcher from Enid, Oklahoma, a Republican from Oklahoma. Join us again next week at the same time, and we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying, thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.